A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you for joining Exploring the Word. Bert Harlett, Harper, and Alex McFarlane here. If you say McHarper, it's not right there. You mess up. But it is good to be back with you, Alex. And what a way to start, a misstatement. But it is good to be back. And I appreciate Jeff Chambly setting in last week so many days. And we just appreciate it. And I heard y'all had a great kickoff to the Book of Romans.
Well, we did, and we appreciate Jeff Chambly of The Stand Radio, which is part of AFR. But we did pray for you, and I know you were on the road preaching. You want to tell us about that?
I do. I was at West Shiloh Baptist Church near Adamsville, Tennessee, and okay. Pastor Steve Littleton is their pastor. They listen regularly. We had quite a few folks that visited, that listened to Exploring the Word, and again, just so many complimentary comments concerning Exploring the Word and how they are blessed. And so it was great to be with them, but I miss being with you guys. And I know you started off in Romans. Y'all got basically chapter one covered. Sounds like y'all didn't go very fast, Alex.
Well, you know, I remarked, we were pretty thorough. I'll put it that way. And it's on AFR.net. All of the shows are archived. But, you know, Bert, Romans chapter 1 and 2, all of the Word of God is worthy of thorough study. And especially Romans 1 and 2, for the times in which we live, are so apropos. And I know we're going to pick it up at about verse 6. But, you know, I'm very excited. And I was on the road speaking. I preached Sunday at Vista Grande Baptist Church, which is a big Baptist church in Colorado where Angie and I were members when we lived out there, and I was working for James Dobson. And we had met a couple from Minnesota, and they were traveling, and they went out of their way to come to the church, and they listen online in Minnesota to Exploring the Word. And just people everywhere we go say some very nice things about AFR and about Exploring the Word, and we give God the glory. And we are in Romans 2, folks, if you've got a copy of the Bible and you're at a place where you can follow along with us. But, Bert, it is good to have you back. And whenever you're traveling, you are certainly missed, brother.
Well, I miss being here, Alex, and I just thank God for you. I enjoy working with you. And when you look at chapter 2, verse 6, I believe without reason, again, I don't want to go over it again. I think chapter 2 verse 2 has something to say, because that kind of becomes a very important theme in chapter 2. Let me read that. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth. Now, that's going to be so important. And how important is that in our day beyond measure? Because we hear my truth, your truth, our truth, no truth. Yes, but notice this. The judgment of God is according to truth. It's right anywhere, anytime, and it always corresponds with the reality. And so, Alex, the judgment that he makes in chapter 2 concerning the Jewish people, the pagans there, the circumcised, which would be the Jewish culture, those that have the law, those that don't have the law, guess what? No matter where they are, no matter what time they existed, the judgment will be made according to truth. And the one who can do that is God himself, Alex.
Amen. And, you know, we're not to despise the judgment of God. We're not to take for granted his grace and mercy. And, you know, as 4 and 5 warn us, we shouldn't take it for granted that God is merciful. Now, verse 6, which is really a quote from Psalm 62, says that God will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, we're not saved by good works. We're saved by Christ's work on the cross. And we put our faith in Jesus, and his finished work is to our credit, even though we didn't earn it and, in fact, couldn't have. However, in terms of our sin, we will give an account in terms of what we did with known truth. And let me just say this and we'll move on. I know when we think about sins and doing bad things, you know, violence or lying or stealing, we think about bad things. But do you know what is a sin that people will give an account for? And that is the rejection of known truth. We are responsible to respond to the truth that we really did know, aren't we?
We are. To whom much is given, listen, much is expected. In truth revealed, listen, it requires us to be faithful to that truth and to respond to that truth. Now, verse 6, I know it's a quote from Psalm 62, but there's two important words there that I just want to make sure we mention each one. Everybody, there's this old saying, and so I remember the first time I ever heard, they said if God ever opens up some new things that need to be put in the Word, and it does not, so don't worry about it, every tub's got to sit on its own bottom. Have you ever heard that?
I had a wise mentor at Liberty University who used to say that.
Okay. Each one, Alex, not just groups, not in a collective, but each one. And that's why one of the reasons we do Exploring the Word, so that each person could hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that they can know him and have eternal life. Now, knowing him doesn't mean knowing about him or knowing something of him. It is having a personal relationship with him through the power of the Holy Spirit of God convicting us of sin, us responding to that grace that he offers to us by faith, asking him for forgiveness as we direct our life to him and say, Lord, we surrender to you. And so, Alec, I could not get over that, each one.
Well, let me pull another word out of there. I've got the KJV here, but Romans 2:6 says that God will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, the word render is really the word payback. And I think about this, you know, Romans 6:23, Paul will write, the wages of sin is death. Can you imagine your life if you don't have Christ and just the net result is judgment if you don't have Jesus? Now, in Proverbs 21:4, do you remember fascinating words? It says, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now you think, well, working my job, living my life, listen, the only rendering or the only wages or the only paycheck you're going to carry out of this world, if you don't have salvation, the net result of your life is going to be sin and judgment. That's why we would turn to Christ and be saved.
Yes, we do. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Now, Alex, there it is. Obey the truth. It is presented to us, and we respond to that truth in obedience to him. You know, and what is that? He said, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He offers it. We must respond to it. And if we don't in obedience respond to this truth that he offers to us, when we stand before him, we'll be without excuse, brother.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, in Romans 1:16, Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 9 and 11 are important. It says there's no respect of persons with God. And for those that reject truth, verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Salvation to the Jew first, also to the Gentile. Judgment. I mean, here's the thing. The playing field is level. There's no respect of persons with God. And, Bert, don't you think this was especially apropos for the Jewish people? Maybe they felt like they had automatic status with God as descendants of Abraham. And we revere the Jewish people. We stand with and for Israel. However, when it comes to your personal salvation, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, you must be born again. It doesn't matter if your granddaddy gave the land that the church house was built on, you must be born again. It doesn't matter that you come from a great pedigree and an impressive lineage, you must be born again. You know, remember George Whitefield, the great evangelist, he always preached, you must be born again. Benjamin Franklin said, every time I ever hear you, that's all you ever preach. Why do you always preach, ye must be born again? And George Whitefield looked at Benjamin Franklin, who he led to Christ. He said, I always preach that because ye must be born again.
There is no substitute for the new birth. There is not a plan A. There is no alternate route. It is only through Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You must be born again. And so this is what he's saying here. And notice, the Jew or the Gentile, what is it? According to truth. The Word of God reveals truth. The Ten Commandments reveal truth of who God is in his nature. And so you must respond to that. Now, verse 11 makes a very broad, I think, a statement. And I think it says very much to the Jewish people, but also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. Alex, have you ever heard this statement? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's no partiality with God. And it's going to get into this in a moment. It's going to talk about the Gentile or the Greek that does the law of God and loves God because it's in their heart without the law. That's a law unto themselves. And just because the Jew has the law written for them, but they don't obey that in their heart, there is no hope for them. So here it is, no partiality. Let me ask you this, Alex, and then take it away. Is that still true today concerning all human beings? God's going to judge, according to what we said in verse 6, each one?
Mm. Yeah, and you know, this relates to a question Jeff and I had last week about the people that have never heard of Jesus, do they need to be saved? And the answer is, of course. Let me read this. And folks, this is some of the most important language ever written for the human race. Verse 12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. And that's very much like we're going to read in James elsewhere in the New Testament. But when the Gentiles, verse 14, when the Gentiles which do not have the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of God's law written on their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Bert, here's the thing, as you well know, that God's law is written on every human heart. The Jews had the overt law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, but the Gentile nations, even if they don't know the written scripture, they know right from wrong because they have a conscience. Therefore, we all need a Savior.
Amen. Nature and conscience, creation and conscience, let us know that there is a God. I pray that you have turned to Him in faith in Jesus Christ. We'll be back with more right after this break. We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The devil thought he had a hold of me. He told so many lies that I believed. Got too weak to carry on. I thought that I was too far gone. But then I heard a voice from Calvary. And now I'm singing, no more shackles on my feet.
I heard a voice from Calvary. Have you responded to that voice? Because I would suspect at multiple junctures in your life, that voice from Calvary has called out to you. It's Jesus. Turn to Him. Hi, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and we are in Romans chapter 2. Bert, it's good to be with you. And by the way, I'm going to give the telephone number because in just a few moments, we will take phone calls. If you want to call in with your Bible question, any Bible question, we'll do our best to give you an answer. The number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Bert, you've heard of crypto. Nowadays, they talk about cryptocurrency and all that kind of stuff. Well, crypto is a Greek word, and it's in that Greek word, by the way, is in Romans 2:16. It says there's a day coming, now listen, when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Let's unpack this. By the way, the word secrets is crypto, something underneath, something hidden. But you know what, Bert? The secrets of men are not secrets to God, are they?
They are not.
God knows our secrets, doesn't He?
He really does. What's one of the most amazing things about the Gospels and Jesus? It says Jesus knew what they were thinking. You know, they would be saying that, but Jesus knew what they were thinking. He still does. He knows what we're thinking. He knows all about us. He knows those secret thoughts of men. And Alex, notice, it will be judged according to Jesus Christ and according to the gospel. What have you done with Jesus? Have you trusted Christ? And so here it is. Notice the definite article, the day. There's going to come a day when God is going to look and examine your faith. Is it real or not? Peter made a big deal out of that. Like, you know, the gold is refined. It's judged to see of what quality it is. Is it real or not? There's such a thing as fake gold. And listen, Satan wants to give you a fake faith. And you want to make sure your faith is real. Talk to somebody about that this very day, about, amen, you know, going back and knowing that you've trusted Christ with who you are, with what you know, and you followed Him. We pray all those who are listening has done that. And Alex, notice what it says in verse 17. It makes a little transition. Indeed, you're called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know His will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth of the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? Now, Alex, I want to ask you a question, because all these questions answered, is Paul trying to make a statement to them concerning, okay, what you say needs to be matched up with what you do, you know?
Exactly.
Being and doing should go together.
They really should, and this is very convicting. We who judge, have we judged ourselves and admitted our sin to God? Bert, we've lived in the time over the last 30 years. There have been a number of rather high profile ministers or alleged ministers that have fallen into sin. And listen, I know Christ is merciful, and if we confess and repent and ask, He does forgive. But when I read these things about immorality and idolatry and dishonesty, you know, the severe judgment on those that presume to be spiritual role models but don't live it. I mean, I will tell you, this is convicting, and I know we are secure in Christ. And if you are a Christian, you know your position. I know where I stand in my Savior, but I really think, I'm just going to say it, I think we all need some hard preaching on a regular basis to remind ourselves that God is holy and sin is an offense to a holy God. And I think we need to read these verses like this and just stay close to the feet of Jesus, don't you, really?
Amen, Alex. Well said. I would say this. We don't go to church just to feel good. Listen, I've gone to church, and I've been there hearing a preacher. I was pastoring. We would invite a preacher to come in and them speak and preach, and God would use that message through the Word of God to penetrate my heart and say, Bert, you need to do a better job of this. You need to do a better job with your daily quiet time. Bert, you need to do a better job of being the husband, the father that you should be. And so God uses those for us that we would respond to Him in faith and obedience, Alex. Because notice what, if we don't, and there's this inconsistency in our lives, then verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Now, here it is, Alex. That's a quote from Isaiah 52. But listen, people are watching. Do you remember, I don't know, I think it was the Happy Goodman may have turned it into a song, that you're the only Bible some people read. Now, again,
amen.
That is so true. If what we
and
say,
and the Happy Goodmans, forgive me for interrupting.
Go ahead.
You're the end of the Bible some people might read. The Happy Goodmans are the end of the gospel group you'll ever need. If I can, forgive me.
That is,
they're awesome, by the way.
They were, and they named them correct, Happy Goodman. But Alex, yeah, when you see that, you know, you said it, and you after I read that, this is convicting. We need to follow Christ closely. Again, obedience. Yes. What did it say back there? We've read it before. Obedience to the law. Obedience to Christ. You know, again, it's the truth. The truth. There it is. Verse 8. Obey the truth. We should do that, shouldn't we?
Well, we should. And let me just say, what would you rather have, folks? Would you rather have a preacher who was polite and said, hey, everything's good, everything's okay, but things weren't okay? Or would you rather have a preacher that told you the truth, as hard as it might be, but it was a message that would open your eyes and be used by God to ultimately get you saved? I think about it in Isaiah 30. Let me read this, and we'll come back to Romans 2. But speaking of Israel, that at one time had their faith in the riches of Egypt. But it says in Isaiah 30, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, children who say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Now here's the point. You get back there to Romans chapter 2, and Bert, I got to tell you, just like a good doctor who is trying to get you healthy and save your life, the doctor says, hey, I got good news and bad news. Good news is we can heal you. Bad news is it's going to be painful, but your life can be saved. Wouldn't you rather have a preacher, as hard as it was, who would tell you the hard but necessary soul-saving truth? Or would you rather have a preacher just to say, oh, everything's lovely, no worries, but you were spiritually in danger? And, Bert, I guess I say that because we're living in a day when our nation, I cannot overstate how urgently our nation needs repentance and revival and a move of God's Holy Spirit. And every one of us can play a role in that. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, you can pray, you can witness, you can stand strong. And let me say, if you have a pastor that is faithfully preaching the Word of God, encourage them. Amen. And say, preacher, preach hard and preach everything God's Spirit puts on your heart. Because I really think the state of the land is very much reflective of the state of the pulpit and the church. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. And, you know, 1831, when Alexis Tocqueville went through America, and he said, I was looking for the genius and the power of America, and he couldn't find it in the harbor or even the Constitution. But he said, when I visited the churches and heard the preachers, the pulpits of America, crying out for righteousness, I found the genius and the secret of America, that America is good. That is what makes America great. And if America ever ceases to be good, they will cease to be great. Alex preaching the word of God in righteousness. Now, I'll just give a little history. 1831, what had happened? Well, we had had the first Great Awakening in the 1700s, about 1740 to 1770, right before, yes, the Revolutionary War, the Declaration of Independence. We got our independence. And then we had the second Great Awakening in the early 1800s. Right when? Right before he would visit there and say in 1831, the secret of America. So, Alex, this righteousness that needs to be preached from the pulpits, taught in the Sunday school, shared in our homes, listen, it is the secret. It's one of the secrets for a strong individual, which makes a strong family, which makes a strong church, which makes strong communities, which makes a strong nation. It is the ripple effect, and it's the righteousness of God. You said it well.
Well, verse 23 asks the question, you who make your boast in the law, through breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. This is verse 24. That's a quote from Ezekiel. I've got to camp out here for a second. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Now, the Jewish religious leaders might have said, wait a minute, no, we're upholding the name of God. We represent the name of God. But in talking it but not living it, they caused the name of God to be blasphemed among the pagans. Now, folks, when you read of Gentiles, pagans, non-Jews, they were people that God raised up Israel to bring the name of God and salvation to the world. Now, here's my point. Bert, I've heard people take the Lord's name in vain. It always makes my skin crawl. But here's the thing. Wouldn't it be tragic that the Christians, the churches, the evangelical leaders, that our calling is to make Jesus known, and yet sometimes the behavior of some has caused the name of God to be blasphemed among an unsaved world. I'm old enough, I remember, Bert, I was a brand new Christian in the late 80s, and there were some big scandals and things like that. And suddenly, on like Johnny Carson and the late night shows, that they used to be very reverent about clergy. Suddenly, and this has lasted now for three decades, it was open season to make fun of Christians. Many of you will remember the Olympics just a month ago opened up with this blasphemous mockery of the Lord's Supper. And it's unfortunate, and lost people do unsaved things, right? But let us live so that the name of God will be honored among Amen. A lost world. Let us live and speak and proclaim Jesus such that an unsaved world would desire to know the true and living God. Isn't that our calling?
That is our calling, and that's what we're to do, and that's why we go over the Word of God. And we're doing this, like you're talking about preachers preaching on this. If you go through the book of Romans and you teach it, you're going to get on this area. Hey, we need to live up to our name. They were first called what? Christians in Antioch. Why? Because they reminded them of little Christ. They were Christians. We need to live up to our name. Alex, verses 25 through 29 closes out concerning circumcision. But again, it's indeed profitable. Therefore, but God's not going to look, according to verse 27, concerning the physical circumcision. Listen to what he says in verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Let me see. I think God says when he was looking for a king, and he went to Bethlehem, went to Jesse's house, and Jesse showed him his sons that were tall, dark, and handsome. And Samuel says, no, that's not them. Do you not have any more? He said, oh, yeah, I do have one, but he's so insignificant, he's keeping the sheep. Samuel said, go and get him. You don't want him. But when he came in, he was little, and God said to Samuel, God does not look on the outward, he looks on the inward. Alex, that was true then. It's true here in Romans. Is it true in 2024?
It still is. We often say this, folks, listen, what's internal is eternal. What's external is temporary. And you might have all the accoutrements of life and, you know, large and in charge, but what about on the inside? Have you made that decision? Have you trusted Christ? And I'm going to say it, you know, born again, washed in the blood, saved, redeemed, converted, as Peter used that word at Pentecost. But we've got to get back to not only talking it but living it, and let's show the world. This is 1 Peter 2:15. We are supposed to do apologetics. That's 1 Peter 3:15. But we are supposed to be an apologetic. 1 Peter 2:15. That even if people didn't know the message, they would know that our lives are authentic. And as such, our Savior is real.
Amen. We're going to take your questions, and the number that you need to call is 888-589-8840, and we would love to hear your Bible question today, whether it be on Romans or any other Bible question. We'd love to hear it. Again, that number, 888-589-8840.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility. We are his hands and feet. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Sandy Rios 24/7 with your host, Sandy Rios. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Hey, 8 Days of Hope family, this is Hannah Fletcher, your communications director. Every year, we are thrilled to see where God moves us as we love and serve those in need across the country, sometimes on a moment's notice. It can be hard to keep up when our rapid response ministry is serving hurricane victims in one state, while our Safe House ministry is building a facility of refuge in another. Today, I am excited to share with you about how you can stay up to date on all the ministry is doing through text. That's right, texting. Right now, you can text the word HOPE to 86373 to join our text alerts. You'll be notified anytime God calls us to love and serve the brokenhearted through rebuilding, rapid response, mass feeding, or safe house construction. It's that simple. Text HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, to 86373. We can't wait to share updates with you soon.
An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Arizona passed an election integrity law in 2022 that simply said in order to register to vote, registrants have to demonstrate that they are U.S. citizens and that voters must prove citizenship in order to mail in ballots. A group called Mi Familia Vota sued to prevent the law from taking effect. The United States Supreme Court upheld the voter registration portion of Arizona's law by a 5-4 vote. This case demonstrates the thin edge our nation is teetering on currently. Limiting the voting franchise to U.S. citizens has become controversial.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. 2 Corinthians 5:1.
American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. I love that song, Who is Able to Open the Scroll? Nobody but Jesus. He is. Well, that number, 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, we'd love to hear from you. But before we do, Alex, we had a caller from Ohio, and she was asking us to be sure and pray for America. And I tried to put aside every Tuesday that we take time out to pray for America. I want to add one thing to that. I just recently found an article about our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. That's right in the middle of Africa. It's not in the middle. It's right there at the curve of it in the central part, but it's on the Atlantic side. And thousands of Christians have died in the last year. And there's more believers that have died in Nigeria the last year than combined all over the rest of the world. Far as borders and others that keep up with those, the martyrs. So we want to pray for America. We do. But we do need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. They are being martyred by the thousands. And so, Alex, the body of Christ is worldwide. And sometimes America, and I love it, but we get so centered on us that we forget, let me see. Paul said that if the eye says I have no need of the hand, listen, we need one another and we need to pray for them.
Yes, we do.
And so, Alex, let's pray for America, but let's remember the Christians in Nigeria as well. Is that all right?
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Would you like me to lead us?
Yes, go ahead, brother.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather and we unite our hearts and our minds and our voice. And Lord, we praise you for your love and care. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ and the reality of the empty tomb. And we thank you for the reality of prayer. And Lord, before we pray for our nation even, we pray for the body of believers all around the world, especially in Nigeria where there is such intense persecution. Please protect and bless and grow the body. I think about in the Middle East. Lord, we pray in China and the Asian world and South America. May your Holy Spirit move and empower the missionaries and protect and raise up the Christians. And Lord, grow the family of believers and the glory of your name. And finally, Lord, I pray for America, 63 days to the election. And Lord, so many issues are on the ballot, the sanctity of life and religious freedom and our border being secure and our cities being safe and our relationship with the nation of Israel. And are we using our wealth to support and fund terrorism or to spread truth and peace and safety around the world? And Lord, our Constitution, and with that, all of our liberties and our freedoms. Lord, we are keenly aware that from a human perspective, just everything seems to hang in the balance. So, dear Jesus, we trust in you. Lord, we ask that you would rule and overrule. Have mercy on this nation. Send a great revival. And, Lord, prevail, and thy will be done in this election. And, Lord, as a Christian and as a preacher and all of us, wherever we are, Lord, if you will please give us the freedom and the strength to do it. We want to live for you and contribute to the fulfillment of your great commission. So, dear Jesus, our life, our nation, our future, our world, we lift it up to you. And in all things, we ask that thy will be done. For Jesus' glory, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to try to give accurate answers as quickly as we can so we can get as many as we can. And first of all is Jason from Ohio. Jason, thank you for calling. Jason from Ohio, are you there? Okay, one more time. Jason from Ohio.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead now, brother. Go right ahead. Sorry about that.
Thank you. I wanted to ask about, I think it's Numbers 5:29, the spirit of jealousy, and kind of how that looks in today's world, particularly within a married couple. I think that married couples should look after each other, but I think it should also be in a healthy way. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, it is in Numbers chapter 5, verse 29. Let me read this, Alex. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "This is the law of jealousy. When a wife, while under her husband's authority, goes astray and defiles herself, or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon a man, and he becomes jealous of his wife, then he shall stand the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute all the law before upon her. Then the man shall be free." Listen, again, the promise we have here is the law of jealousy is, again, truthfulness, honesty overrides that, and the jealousy or the desire that they have for one another should override any of the detractions. Alex, it is a mutual accountability, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, the word jealousy there is a variation of an ancient word, ardor, A-R-D-O-R, that really is a word that means a type of passion. Now, passion for the Lord, passion for your spouse, healthy love, but jealousy, you know, you've heard the old phrase, the green-eyed monster. That's a passion that's turned upside down. It's, you know, 180 degrees out of phase. And let me say this. When I read a warning like Numbers 5:29, I think about 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not self-seeking. Love does not insist on its own way. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love believes the good. And Bert, I think that when you view marriage or any relationship, like number one is Jesus and number two is service to others and to seek the highest good of another, well, there's no place for jealousy or ungodly passions in the heart of a Christian or in the heart of a spouse against their spouse, is there?
There is not. Lord, give us eyes for our wives. All you men, pray that God can help you. And Lord, give me eyes only for my wife. That means to love her, care for her, and desire her. Alex, thank you for that. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Bruce. Bruce, thank you for calling.
Hi, I've been listening to your program as much as I can. And Alex, earlier in the program, you said that George Whitefield led Benjamin Franklin to Christ. Mm-hmm. Can you give me the source for that?
Yes, I read that. There was a biography of George Whitefield that came out probably about 5 years ago, and I was in a Barnes & Noble bookstore, and I stood there, and there was a whole two or three chapters on their friendship. And by the way, one thing that's very fascinating, you know, the National Park Service, whenever they measure a crowd, they'll get up on a high point and lay a grid down. And the way that that was developed, and it's pretty accurate, Benjamin Franklin developed that. Franklin was such a fan of George Whitefield's preaching. Whitefield would preach in Boston, and that they said the crowds would go down the alleyways. And Benjamin Franklin would count how many would be in about a 15 by 15 foot square. And he developed this grid where they could get a pretty good, accurate estimation of crowd size. And the National Park Service uses that to this day. But anyway, my point is, they were such good friends that Whitefield testified, and he was a Presbyterian evangelist, that he, and Franklin was in his 70s, led Benjamin Franklin to accept Christ. And it was really reflected in how at the Constitutional Convention that Benjamin Franklin was the one that convened prayer. And let me see if I can find the title of that book that I read, but it was a very scholarly biography of Whitefield, and there might have been, I'll come up with the name of it, but the friendship he shared with Benjamin Franklin and Franklin's eventual conversion. And let me just say this, Whitefield was no like lightweight when it came to describing what salvation was. I mean, he was a pretty hard shell, great awakening evangelist. And
he gave no shortcuts. He gave no shortcuts. It was following Christ and Christ alone. Amen, Alex.
But I will find the name of that biography, and I'll give you a citation on that, my friend.
Okay. Let's go to West Virginia and talk to Ed. Ed, thank you for calling.
Hi, guys. Thanks again for your show. Prior to your broadcast, the newscast just before your show had a psychologist on talking about spanking, and he said that the rod, I believe in Proverbs or Hebrews, was a metaphor and not taken literally. Now, I don't have any children of my own, but my parents did not spare the rod. So I wanted your opinion on this thing. I don't know if you heard the newscast or not, but I wanted to get your opinion.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, that's in Proverbs 13:24. Let me look this word up. I got to be honest. I don't really think that's a metaphor. I know my mom and dad, rest their soul. My dad, I think that was his life's verse when I was coming up, Bert.
Well, let me say, if it's a metaphor, it had a paddle to it.
It's the word is shebet, S-H-E-B-E-T. And, okay, he that spares the rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. And do you remember, it also goes on, it says, spare not for his crying, he will not die. But you know what? I got to say, the Hebrew, it says rod, staff, club, or scepter. So, Bert, it reminds me of when my dad, and I deserved it, he would say, get me a switch.
Yeah.
Bert, do you know what a switch is? And I don't mean a light switch.
I know what they are, because I think my mom and dad grew bushes just so that I could go get the switch. I'll put it that way.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I do. Okay, thank you. We hope that helps. We believe.
I respectfully think it was literal.
I do, too. Now, again, very carefully, make it deservedly. I praise the Lord, my parents, I don't think they overdid it. If they did anything, they underdid it. But I needed everyone I got, and plus some I didn't get. Let's go to Iowa and talk to Isaac. Isaac, thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. This is my first time calling. I listen to the radio station almost every day.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. I have a little confusion on Matthew 15:25-28. I don't know who Jesus was talking to because he came for everybody, but he said, but bread should have been given to the dogs. I don't know, you know. So.
Okay, Alex, have you found that? Where is that?
Yes.
Well, go ahead, man.
15. And by the way, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening to the program. That really means a lot. Matthew 15:25, it says that I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she in worship, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, it is not meet or suitable to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Okay, and then she famously said, this was a Canaanite woman, yes, but the dogs will eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, to our modern ears, this sounds pretty harsh, right? But here's the thing, the little dogs, the way the wording is like little dogs, like pets, and the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Believe it or not, we Gentiles that are hearing the gospel, we're like grafted in. We are like the dogs eating the crumbs of the gospel because the gospel first was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, it doesn't mean that God was necessarily showing the Jews preferential treatment, but it was through the line of Abraham that Jesus was born. And in the time, the word profane meant outside the temple, and Gentiles were referred to as dogs, just like people sat at the table to eat, and down on the floor was the family pet, right? Now, dog, to us, that might sound like a real, real insult, but in that day, it was a euphemism for the Gentiles. So Jesus was essentially saying, hey, you know, you're a Canaanite woman, and I first am giving the gospel to the Jews. And she basically says, yeah, but I might not be a Jew, but I'll take any bit of truth you can give me. And then Jesus says in verse 28 of Matthew 15, woman, you have great faith, and it, may it be unto you even as you will. So believe it or not, Bert, I know it takes a little context. That's Jesus reaching a non-Jew with the message of salvation, wasn't it?
And she responded, notice, she said true, and then Jesus responded, great is your faith. Jesus was bringing her in. He knew and he did what was needed, and she understood through the power of Jesus Christ. We're praying that those of you who are listening, you'd understand that Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I pray that you would do that. Alex, we'll start with Romans chapter 3 tomorrow. And so we ask everybody to read ahead. Romans 3 is jam-packed as well, isn't it?
It is. Folks, thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. Please tell somebody about the American Family Radio Network. Most of all, though, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.